Amen. Thank you. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and also Psalm 139. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23rd verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. And then we'll turn to Psalm 139 and read verses 23 and 24. I'd like to address the issue this evening of sanctifying our minds. How do we sanctify our minds? How do we keep our minds holy and sanctified? Note here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23, it reads, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in Psalm 139, please, verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's bow for prayer one more time. O God, we're so thankful for the opportunity to pray. So we ask now, O God in heaven, that you'd hear our prayer, that you'd give us understanding, open our eyes, O Lord, that we might know and in the power of your Spirit do that which will sanctify our minds for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. There in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23, the Bible teaches us that we are to be a sanctified people. Holy, fully, completely. We are to be sanctified, set apart, holy in spirit, in soul, and in body. The last time we addressed this issue, we addressed the issue of how we can be sanctified in body from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This evening I'd like to begin by addressing the issue of how to be sanctified in our soul. Now, in the scriptures, a reference to the soul is a reference to the mind, the will, and the emotions. You and I are created in the image of God. God said, "Let us make man in our image." The Bible talks about the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you and I have been created in His image, and I believe without doubt, based upon the authority of the Word of God, that you and I made up of body, that which you see, flesh, spirit, an eternal spirit that will spend eternity somewhere, and a soul, the real you as a person, your mind, your will, your emotions. And there in 1 Thessalonians, we are told that we are to be sanctified, not only in body and spirit, but also in soul. So I'd like to address that issue. How can we be sanctified in our soul? The mind, the will, and the emotions. Now, we won't have time to deal with sanctification in the mind, will, and emotions this evening, but we'll, Lord willing, address the issue of how to be sanctified in mind this evening. Then we'll tackle the will and the emotions in the weeks to come. Note there in Psalm 139, there seems to be an allusion to implication, probably a better word, implication to the soul here in verses 23 and 24. Note the word heart there in verse 23, "know my heart." Verse 23, "know my thoughts." Verse 24, the word way, "way in me, lead me in the way everlasting." Way, thoughts, heart, mind, will, emotions. The implication is there. And note the little phrase there, search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. If you back up to verses 1 and 2 there in Psalm 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. So in verse number 1, the psalmist acknowledges the fact that God knows everything. God knows my ups, God knows my downs, God knows everything about us. I don't think any of us would disagree with that point. We might not like that fact, but that's our God. He knows everything about us. So why is it in verse 1 he makes reference to the fact that, God, you know me, and then note there in verse number 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Well, the implication is simply this, that little phrase there, search me, O God, and know my heart. It literally means, Lord, make known to me. God, you know everything about me, but make known to me my heart, my emotions. Make known to me my thoughts. Make known to me my will. Help me to see those blind spots, so to speak. Make known to me. And that harmonizes with the rest of the chapter. The psalmist acknowledges, oh God, you know everything about me. You have even the each strand of hair on my head numbered. You know everything about me. But God, prayed the psalmist, Lord, search me and know me. Make known to me my shortcomings. It's been well said that we are blinded to our own shortcomings. And so the essence of that fact here in verse 23 and 24 is that the psalmist prayed a sincere prayer. O God, search me, O God. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Mind, will, and emotions. The implication is there. So let's address the issue of sanctifying our minds this evening. God reveals His will through His eternal word. And God will reveal our shortcomings in and through His eternal word. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it reads, and the word of God is quick, it's alive, life-giving, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to, note this, the dividing asunder, soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, body, soul, spirit, body, is right there, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So once again, the Bible teaches us that we are made up of body, soul, spirit. And the Word of God is powerful enough to discern, help us to see the true condition that we are in. So I'd like to challenge you this evening concerning the need to be sanctified in soul, in mind, in will, and in emotion. So for the sake of time tonight, let's address the issue. How can I be sanctified in mind? How can I have a holy mind? As I mentioned this morning, 1 in 4 young people have experienced a mental health issue in the past 12 months. That's extraordinary. Young people are the hope of the future. Are they not? 1 in 4 having or complaining of some sort of issue mentally. Why? Well, I think the answer is obvious. Man is living apart from God today. And as man continues to move further away from accepting the God of the Bible and living in harmony to His word, man will go mad, crazy, and will have mind issues. So how can we guard our minds? Well, I think it begins with number one. How do we sanctify our minds? We need to be, my first point is, be proactive in renewing of our minds. We must be proactive in the renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 12 teaches that very fact. Being proactive in having our minds renewed. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, it reads, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Bible teaches us that we are to stop allowing worldliness and the world system to mold us, shape us into its image, to hold its values. We need to have our minds renewed by the Word of God. And if we are to have sanctified minds, if we are to have holy minds, then we must be proactive in renewing our minds on a daily basis with the eternal, inspired Word of God. Note there in John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. The third verse, it reads, our Lord said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." The Word of God is a cleansing agent. And you and I, if we are to be sanctified in mind, if we are to have holy, pure mind, and not become the next statistic of having a mental health issue, we need to be proactive in having our minds renewed by the Word of God. In Ephesians 5:26 it reads, "That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word." Ye are cleansed through my Word, which I have spoken unto you, said the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have our minds renewed daily with the Word of God. Did you read the Word of God this morning? I trust you did. Are you planning to read the Word of God tomorrow morning? I trust you are. What about Tuesday? What about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and so on? We need to be proactive. We need to read the Word of God on a daily basis. If we are to have sanctified minds, there is filthiness all around us, is there not? And we need our minds to be cleansed, so we need to be proactive. We need to be like that diligent homemaker that instead of waiting for the dust to build throughout the household, she is diligent to, on a regular basis, clean her house. You and I as God's people need to be proactive by renewing our minds daily with the Word of God. How do we sanctify our minds? Daily, reading the Word of God. So critically important. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if our minds are not being renewed by the Word of God, then we will be conformed to this world. This is why we have so many worldly Christians, so-called children of God, that say, "Oh yes, I'm a Christian." But you wonder. We wonder. I don't smell it. I don't see it. I don't hear it. Yet these people call themselves Christians. Yet they're so worldly. Be not conformed to this world, but be renewed in your mind. Beloved, if we're to have sanctified minds, you and I need to read the Word of God daily. We need daily cleansing. Don't wait for the dust to build up. Don't wait until there's so much dirt that, oh, okay, I better pull out the vacuum cleaner now and start cleaning. I better find that bottle of Mr. Sheen and start polishing. No, be proactive. Amen? Daily, read the Word of God. It's powerful. This is an inspired Word. I was reading my Bible in Carlingford Court the other day, waiting for my lovely wife. And there I was, just actually sermon preparing and just studying. And there was this guy, you know, eating his McDonald's. And he just kept looking over, kept looking over, kept looking over. And then I could tell he was getting a bit uptight. And I thought, what am I going to do with this guy? He's getting uptight. I haven't said a word to him. I'm just reading my Bible. A big Bible, black Bible, not a gimmick Bible, a real Bible, like this. It's obvious. It's a Bible, you know. And I could tell he was getting agitated. This book's powerful, beloved. This book's powerful. It's the inspired Word of God. And if you will fill your heart with God's Word, it'll renew your mind. So we must be proactive. Renew our minds daily with the Word of God. Secondly, this evening, we need to gird up the loins of our mind. Go to 1 Peter quickly. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. Gird up the loins of our minds. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word gird up, means to belt up, to tighten up. The analogy is there of a person within the biblical setting wearing their robes and having something to keep it all together. So the idea of tightening up, gird up. And the Bible teaches us that we need to gird up the loins of our mind. We need to keep a tight rein over our minds. Now, how can we do that? How can we keep a tight rein over our minds? Well, I think it begins by you and I taking responsibility for what we think about. You and I are responsible, and we must take responsibility for what we think upon. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, please. The Bible teaches that fact. And in fact, the Bible teaches us that we have to think biblically. So if we're to have sanctified minds, we need to, number one, be proactive by renewing our minds daily through reading and meditating on the Word of God. Number two, by girding up, tightening up the loins of our mind, keeping a tight rein on our thoughts by thinking biblically. Note then Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. What you think upon is your choice. To make the excuse of, well, Pastor, I can't help it. Well, if you are a blood-bought child of God, yes, you can help it. And because note there at the end of verse number 8, it reads, think on these things. Let's say it together. Think on these things. Now, God would not ask of us to do anything that would go contrary to His will, and God would certainly not ask of you and I to do anything that we cannot do. So the Bible teaches us, choose to think this way. Finally, brethren, Christians, think on these things. So in order to gird up the loins of our mind, to keep a tight rein on our minds, we need to choose what we think about. So often we just let our mind go, and the rest is history. Bad news. We've all done it at times. At least I have, said to myself, why am I here? Why am I thinking about this? I've just allowed my mind to go the wrong direction. It's got to pull it back, tighten the loins of our minds. What should we think about? Well, look at verse number 8, that which is true. That which is truth. In other words, that which is not, that which is the opposite of that which is not true. I need to think upon truth. What is true? God's love is everlasting. That's true, is it not? Money brings happiness. That is not true. We're not to think upon that. Is it provable? Does God say it's true? If God tells us it's true, that's what you and I need to think on. So we are to gird up the loins of our minds by thinking upon that which is true, that which is proven, and not choose to think upon that which is not true, that which is a lie. So we are to think upon truth. But also note then, verse number 8, we are to think upon things that are honest. Note that word honest there. That which is honourable, that's what it refers to. Don't think upon that which is dishonourable or not worthy of respect. Think upon that which is honourable. Don't think upon that which is shameful, in other words. Quickly, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, no, chapter 5, pardon me. Ephesians chapter 5. Note then verse 11 and 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Are you ashamed of what you're thinking about? If somebody could listen into your thoughts right now, would you be ashamed? Well, yes, Pastor, you might say. Well, stop thinking about it. Because it's not honest, it's not honourable, it's not worthy of respect. We are to think biblically, thinking upon that which is true, that which is honourable, not that which is shameful. But also note then Philippians 4:8, that which is just or that which is right. The opposite of that which is wrong. That which is clearly and undoubtedly a wrong thought, we need to say, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to entertain that thought because that is a wrong thought. It is not just. We must think upon that which is right. We must think upon that which is honourable, that is not shameful. That if somebody could listen into our thoughts, that we'd be unashamed. That which is true, is it true? Then I think upon that. Then it goes on to say that which is pure, that which is clean, not that which is dirty. That which is morally pure. In Matthew 5:8, the Bible teaches us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm to think upon that which is clean, that which is pure, that which is just, that which is right, that which is honest, that which is honourable, that which is true. Truth. But also note then, verse number 8, that which is lovely. It literally means that which is a friend of. Think upon that which is a friend of God. The Bible teaches us in James 4:4, quickly. James 4:4. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not the friendship of the world is the enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So if I choose to think upon that which is lovely, I am choosing to think upon that which is loved of God and that which proves my love for God. Literally means that. That which is lovely, that which is loved of God, and that which proves a love for God. Not that which is contrary to God, that which is the enemy of God. I'm not to think upon that. I'm to choose to think upon that which is a friend of God. That's what it literally means. The music that you listen to and think on, is it music that is friendly to God? A friend of God? Good question, Pastor. Yeah, I reckon it's a good question. What kind of music do you listen to? Is it music that is a friend of God? Because if it's not a friend of God, then it's the enemy of God. It's as simple as that. That which is lovely and of good report. Note then verse 8. Good report. I'm to think upon that which is of good report. That which is of a good reputation. Versus that which is bad. Negative report. Well spoken of. Praise God for the good news. The good news of the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's good news. And I'm to think upon that which is of good report, that which is of good reputation. Beloved, this evening, if you and I are to have sanctified minds, we must be proactive in having our minds renewed with the Word of God on a daily basis. But also, we need to gird up the loins of our mind. We need to have a tight rein over our minds and choose to think biblically. That which is true and honest and just and pure and lovely, of good report. And also note that at the end of verse 8 it reads, if there be any virtue, that word virtue there is in reference to character. Does this type of thinking promote godly character? Is this thinking that I'm entertaining at the moment promote godly character, the evidence of godly character? Is it beneficial? Will it produce godliness? Good question. And also note that at the end of verse 8 it reads, if there be any praise. What you and I are thinking upon, is it worth highlighting? Is it worth drawing attention to? Should this type of thinking take my attention? Will it build good character? Think on these things. Beloved, if we are to gird up the loins of our mind, we need to make a deliberate choice to think biblically. Instead of allowing our thoughts to just roam freely, just like some of you at the moment, you're just all over the place. Dangerous. The mind is the devil's playground, an idle mind. Gird up the loins of your mind, beloved. Choose what you're going to think upon. Pastor, how can I think right? Fill your mind with the Word of God. You can get the Bible on audio and listen to the Word of God. Instead of filling your your minds with talkback radio in the car and getting all of this opinions and everybody's selfish ideas, why not fill your mind with preaching? Or the Word of God, listen to the Word of God. Or what about sacred godly music? Amen. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Fill your mind with sacred music. Come on now. We're the people of God. I'm not really interested in what Joe Blow thinks about this issue or that issue. I'm interested in what God thinks. Let's fill our minds with the Word of God. Let's have our minds renewed. I'm not referring to being ignorant, but I'm telling you, it's all negative out there. Negative. Negative, negative, negative. That's why people have got mental issues. They're filling their minds with negativity, 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 sin, negativity. Beloved, we have the Word of God. Let's fill our minds with the Word of God. Let's fill our minds with music that honors and glorifies God. Amen. Instead of allowing our thoughts just to roam freely, God tells us what we need to think about. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Sanctified minds. How can we be sanctified in mind? Number one, be proactive by having our minds renewed daily with the Word of God, reading the Word of God daily. Number two, gird up the loins of our mind, taking responsibility for what we think upon. That's what we'll become. And number three, there'll be times that we'll need to cast down wrong thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to be proactive, beloved, and having our minds renewed with the Word of God. We need to take responsibility for our thoughts. Think biblically. And number three, we need to cast down wrong thoughts, imaginations. Cast down imaginations, that which is not true, that which is wrong, that which is sinful. Cast them down, because the devil has a way of planting wrong thoughts into our minds. He did that with Judas Iscariot, and he does it to this very day. He just plants these wicked thoughts into our minds. We battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We need to cast down imaginations. And note there, verse number 5, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, every thought that is contrary to God's word, I need to cast it down. Every thought that I entertain must bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Cast down wrong thoughts with the Word of God. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. He cast down those wrong thoughts and words that were propagated by the devil himself. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And beloved, if you and I are to have sanctified minds, then we need to cast down wrong thoughts, because you will have them. Yes, you will. I have them, and I'm a pastor. You'll be amazed some of the things I think about that pop into my mind. And I can imagine what pops into your mind. I don't think you're probably any more holier than me. We battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, do we not? And we need to cast these thoughts down, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. It's anything that's contrary to what the Bible teaches. Cast it down. Use the Word of God. Cast it down. Let me encourage you to memorize 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. And whenever you have a wrong thought, quote it. Those two verses, for me, have been the most helpful verses of my life. If you would ask me, Pastor, share with me the most helpful piece of Scripture, I would say without hesitation, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, has helped me beyond my imagination. So whenever you get those wrong thoughts, cast them down with the Word of God. You can use a specific verse to deal with a specific issue, or you can use this antibiotic, which takes care of a multitude of sins. Cast it down. Cast it down. Cast down wrong thoughts by using the Word of God. So how can we have sanctified minds? Number one, renew your mind daily. The Word of God. How's your Bible reading going? Number two, gird up the loins of your mind. Keep a tight rein on your thinking. Be proactive in what you think upon. Philippians 4:8, think upon these things. Listen to preaching, listen to the Word of God, listen to sacred music. Don't let your mind just wander. Your mind will go all sorts of places. And you'll have problems. Gird up the loins of your mind. And number three, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Sanctified in mind. Let's keep pure minds. Let's be proactive, filling our minds with the Word of God. Let's choose to think biblically. Let's take responsibility for what we think upon. Oh, but Pastor, I can't help it. Yes, you can. In the power of the Holy Spirit, yes, you can. The Bible gives us what we are to think upon. Choose to think biblically. And then when those wrong thoughts come your way, cast them down. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. Keep quoting it. Keep quoting it. Keep quoting it. God will give you victory. I know that for a fact. God will give you victory. May God help us to be sanctified in mind. And all of God's people said,